So that we don't have interrupted hearing, I want that we do this little felicitation for a start. I am here out of divine mercy, divine grace of Sri Radha Gopinath, His Holiness Radhana Maharaj, and paramount, His Grace, Govinda Prabhu. In appreciation for that mercy, I want you to join me in the tradition of Chopati and glorify Sri Radha Gopinath with three tumultuous haribol. Haribol! 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 19 years ago, and before that, I was here by some providence. I had studied in Chandigarh, acquired my first degree in public administration, and out of curiosity or appreciation for Indian cultural heritage, one thing I like most in India is dhoti. I like dhoti. Then I appreciated vegetarianism because it's a survival technique. In India, no foreign student works, so you have to survive. So after my studies, and I went back to Nigeria, and I found need to consolidate on this appreciation of Indian culture, I read Prabhupada's books. And in the books, I found out vegetarianism as a salient future. So vegetarianism that I liked has become institutionalized somewhere. So I appreciated and embraced it. Dhoti that I like, I didn't see anywhere, but I found only with the devotees more regularly. So somehow, by providence, I came back to India again and went to Pune. So in Pune, I went to the temple. I met three devotees only. Three. One was Suchi Prabhu. He became sannyasi sometime. He was the first I met washing talis of puja outside. He could not understand English very well. So he called Krishna Kaviraj Prabhu. He was vice president in Pune then. So when Krishna Kaviraj Prabhu came, he took us inside, he spoke to us, we took Krishna consciousness, topmost yoga and Bhagavad Gita. Like every growing youth, I had all the bad habits any student will have. But in 3 days, in seclusion, I read Bhagavad Gita. 3 days, no other duties. And after reading Bhagavad Gita, I felt, oh, what is it that they do in the ashram every day? So I asked. And they said they rise early in the morning, they go for Mangalati by 3, and then other things. So I was curious to know what they do early in the morning hours. So I came and slept with them in the mandir. But I'll tell you, that was the most horrible night I experienced. Why? Those of you who know Pune in the early days, there's a lot of mosquitoes and bed bugs. Too much. So I hardly slept the whole night. So when it was time to rise by 3, I joined them. Took bath, and then went for Mangalati. But you won't believe, after that Mangalati experience, I never went home again. I started staying in temple. I only go home to change, come back like that. Until Maniha Prabhu, who was the president, then he had gone to Mayapur for the quintessential celebration, 500 years anniversary of Mahaprabhu. So when he returned, they introduced me to him and that I have been coming. So he asked me, Niga, he called me, can you read and write? That was his question. So I bear my little academic exposure, and he was amazed. Even yesterday, somebody was asking me here, in Africa, is it not only junglies? Only jungles. So there are a lot of misconceptions. So when he got to know I had some little orientation, he said very nice, that wherever you are, laminate your certificate and put them in the wall so that people will know they are educated people in the Hare Krishna movement. All right. I stayed there with him until the turmoil of Pune, and I drifted to Bombay, here in Chopati. What you see today, for me, is like At Jamil's case, they say it's a near-death experience. But mine is after-death experience. Why? Whole thing started from little or nothing. Mangalati here in the beginning was a table where you have Prasadam now on the wall and picture of Radha Vrindavan Chandra. That was the deities. Then the devotees will come out, have their little kirtan. After that, they take the picture away. And slowly, is Prabhu Deepak still coming? Then the orphanage offered us this hall. It doesn't come. They offered this hall, and then we're thinking what to do. But in contemplation, we started soundproofing because we're disturbing the neighborhood. You have to really struggle between students to get in here. And then somehow it was going on. But not to take it too long, I left. After Radha Gopina came mysteriously here, they were deities meant to go to some other temple where they ordered and paid for. They ordered. But in delivery, deities came here. And very expediently, the trustees were fast. They made payments, they acquired. Then they also arranged the Srinhasan. Srinhasan was only the middle one, if I can remember. Then Maharaj's inspiration made that they set for the Pran Pratista. I was still young, a devotee, I must tell you then. I knew little or nothing. But because of the level of conviction with which I came, I liked everything I was doing. It wasn't like somebody was forcing me. It was a natural flow. And so, Vanashram Prabhu, who is now Vrindavan Das Prabhu, he was Pujari earlier before the installation. So he taught me Pujari work. And I did not know much, but there was a pressing need for me to do. So he said, you go and do. I said, but I have not learned everything. He said, you go in there, make all your mistakes and correct them. If you wait for the day you know everything, you will never do anything. So I started like that. And see his costless mercy. In a while, there was a concluded arrangement to do the installation. I was down in Africa, and I saw the clips of some video in a CD that was taken here. Radhana Maharaj and something is the title of that CD. And I was watching, I saw that I was standing behind Maharaj with a conch shell in that CD. That is only when I remember that I was involved during the Pran Pratista. But by Krishna's mercy, I left here. In Nigeria, I have been involved in not less than 4 deity installations. 4 temples, installed deities, and I was somehow involved. And the last temple where I'm serving now is what made most of you again rekindle your memory about my presence here. I got a letter from Vrindavan Das Prabhu asking if I was the same Ganga. And I replied him, and then Krishna Chandra Prabhu, like this. So, in the end, we have been carrying on, but you won't believe 2 things. One, it has been like going to hell, being there in Africa. I must tell you frankly. For me, it's been like being in hell. That's why I said my experience today now is like after-death experience. That is one. All the details are in the archives of my memory. Then the second one is to come back here and see that everything has completely become something else. Children will assemble outside there for morning session before school. The whole place has become part of the temple. In the neighborhood here, we are taken to court for disturbance. And that's why your Mangalati uniquely has been adjusted different from other places in the world to 5 a.m. It was a court ruling. And the same neighborhood where you got prosecution has become all acquired and you are occupying. Isn't that amazing? But over and above all, the whole structure has changed from little iron railings and wooden torch finishing into exquisite Jaipur marble carving columns, marble walls. exquisite furniture work, chandeliers, and then the altar extended. In conclusion, I feel very fortunate. Even if I die now, it is a very glorious death. Why? The memory this outfit is keeping in my subconscious, even if I remember it at the time of death, maybe I'll be a cockroach under this asana. In any case, your glories you may not know, those of you who are here. You won't know how much you are glorified all over the world. If they speak about ISKCON worldwide and they are thinking of standards, Chopati is number one. And you have a lot of, you know, senior gurus who travel around and they sell you, they market you actually. The Simple Temple DVD was brought to Nigeria by Kavichandra Maharaj. Because it's DVD, most people don't have facility to watch it. But in our new temple, we have some kind of sophisticated electronic outfit. So we're able to watch it, and then we're able to make copies, and then I have a copy also. So in my leisure, I rekindle my reminiscence of here with that. And some of the devotees here who have gone outside India, either for work or something, they have great lamentation in separation. They feel, what is the use of the work? What is the use of the money? What is the use of all of it when one is separated from his real family, which is here? We are celebrating one festival in Lagos, and Rasa Sidhu Prabhu came. He was devastated. He said, oh, look at his life, how useless he has become and all of this. But I only encouraged him. Why? I brought one of those MP3s you sent to me. And that was what I played for the occasion where Maharaj was speaking about that same function. He didn't know I had it, but I brought it, I played for him. And then I told him, listen, if you were in Chopati today, you will not appreciate Chopati to the degree you are doing now. So sometimes it is better to be away from something you value most. Then you know what it is worth. Otherwise, the English adage says, familiarity breeds contempt. But I don't pray that any of you become contemptuous with this place. You have a big treasure in your hands. If you use it properly, you can straight away from here go back home, back to Godhead. Is this Strat Punima, the CD you sent also up? The Pushpa Abhishek, where Mother Yamuna was sitting here. And then there was big exchange between her, the devotees present, and Maharaj. Maharaj spoke and glorified so many things. And when she was given opportunity to speak also, she glorified here, glorified Maharaj, and glorified everything. And I was thinking, wow, this is what the nature of devotees' relationship should be. But in most cases, you find out, not here, I'm not being particular, that even in the association of devotees, it's only fault-finding. And when we are too busy with finding fault, we devastate the whole of our preaching. So, but they glorify themselves so much that in my mind, I was thinking, wow, how lucky you all are. By the activities going on here, every day there are one great devotee coming and going. They get blessed. Like Bhatitita Maharaj said, he has only come to steal mercy. Isn't it? So, all of this memory is to your credit, to your advantage, and to he whom much is given, much is expected. So nobody should attempt by the wildest imagination to minimize anything that is going on here. You are lucky, you are glorious, and you are famous all over the three worlds. Hare Krishna. So let's read what is here in the text for today because of time. We are taking our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, chapter 1, text 33 texts are there, 34 through 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Avayasa. Sabe charu chatu bujaha. Dano nisanga sigada. Sanka chakram bujasiyaha. Diso vitni miraloka. Only two, huh? Only two are here. All right. There's a third one. Kuvanta se na tejasa kima tamdama palasya kinkaram no nisedataha. So we repeat this first two again. Sabe padma palasaksa. Pita kose yavasasa. Kiritina kundalino. Lasa pushkaramalinaha. Savecha nutravayasaha. Savecha ruchatu bujaha. Danuni sangha sigada. Sankha chakram bujasya. Save padma pala saksha. Explanation by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki. All the carriers of Yamaraj said, your eyes are just like the petals of lotus flowers, dressed in yellow silken garments, decorated with garlands of lotuses, and wearing very attractive helmets on your heads and earrings on your ears, you all appear fresh and youthful. Your four long arms are decorated with bows and quivers of arrows and with swords, clubs, conch shell, discs, and lotus flowers. Your effulgence has dissipated the darkness of this place with extraordinary illumination. Now, says, why are you obstructing us? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Before even being introduced to a foreigner, one becomes acquainted with him through his dress, bodily features, and behavior, and can thus understand his position. Therefore, when the Yamadutas saw the Vishnu Dutas for the first time, they were surprised. They said, by your bodily features, you appear to be very exalted gentlemen, and you have such celestial power that you have dissipated the darkness of this material world with your own effulgences. Why then should you endeavor to stop us from executing our duty? It will be explained that the Yamadutas, the other carriers of Yamaraj, mistakenly considered Ajamila sinful. They did not know that although he was sinful throughout his entire life, he was purified by constantly chanting the holy name of Narayan. In other words, unless one is a Vaishnava, one cannot understand the activities of a Vaishnava. The dress and bodily features of the residents of Vaikuntha are properly described in these verses. The residents of Vaikuntha, who are decorated with garlands and yellow silken garments, have four arms holding various weapons. Thus, they conspicuously resemble Lord Vishnu. They have the same bodily features as Narayan because they have attained the liberation of Sarupya, but they nevertheless act as servants. All the residents of Vaikuntha know perfectly well that their master is Narayan or Krishna, and that they are all his servants. They are all self-realized souls who are Nitya Mukta, everlastingly liberated. Although they know conceivably declare themselves Narayan or Vishnu, they never do so. They also remain Krishna conscious and serve the Lord faithfully. Such is the atmosphere of Vaikuntha. Similarly, one who learns the faithful service of Lord Krishna through the Krishna consciousness movement will always remain in Vaikuntha and have nothing to do with the material world. Om Agyanti Miran Hare Krishna. So in the text we are reading today, there is a lot of salient things that should be bared for our benefit and for the benefit of others. The first thing in this scenario is duty. Karma or karma. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 13, Krishna had mentioned Chatuvanya Maya Sriswa Guna Karma Vibhagasa, that according to the three modes of material nature, and the work associated with them, Krishna said he created the four divisions of society. Although he has created the four divisions, he should be still seen as a non-doer. He created, but the immediate actor is we. And we only are going to act out of the influence of the mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. And these actions are definitely going to bring a reciprocal or commensurate reactions. If you act in mode of goodness, there will be ugliness, and you will be happy, isn't it? If you act in mode of passion, there will be excruciating endeavor. You'll be fatigued, exhausted, and then there will be some pain. In the mode of ignorance, there's lethargy, laziness, and madness. But further also, Krishna mentioned in the same Bhagavad Gita, Sadrisam che saste swasya prakrite janavam api prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karisyati. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature. For everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? Suppose you have some knowledge and you think, okay, it is better not to do like this. You can rationally think it will not do. But you find out that there is some vital push from within that make you do things. You find yourself acting. So inevitably, everyone will act according to the nature he has acquired under the modes of material nature. But the Yamadutas have erred here in this text. They have committed some mistake. But logical thinking requires that we treat the issue like devotees. Are the Vishnu Dutas Rakshasas? Are they demons? Are the Vishnu Dutas demons? If they are not demons, means they are faithfuls of somebody. And they are faithfuls of one of the Mahajans, isn't it? Yamaraj is one of the 12 Mahajans. And so his disciples have gone out on his order and acted, but they have acted with some flaw. But the first encouragement, if you are a good teacher, a good parent, even when your children seemingly make mistakes, what do? You have a duty to admonish them, but you must encourage them by appreciating even the willingness to act. So from Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna mentioned that Sreyam Swadamo Niguna Paradama Swanu Sitaha Swadama Nidano Sreya Paramdamo Bayam Vaha, that it is better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duty perfectly. This is the lesson. Supposing the Vishnu, the Yamadutas came and they were acting like Yamadutas, that is not their duty. They are misappropriating their role. Destruction in course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duty, for following another's path is dangerous. It's dangerous. You mislead people. They will misconstrue you. So in the activity of the Yamadutas, there is something to learn, and it is of benefit for every one of us. I remember once Radha Maharaj was mentioning that if you see a devotee, it is from the devotee's appearance, the devotee's speech, the devotee's activity that you can know who is his guru. What type of guru does he have? Sometimes, people may not be very versed in having known your guru, so they make derogatory statements or misappropriating assessment of your guru. In the scenario we are reading now, the Vishnu Dutas knew about Yamaraj, so they did not misrepresent him. Rather, they were surprised that his followers were acting contrary to what they should be doing. So, acting contrary is born out of something. And in that case, you now have to. You can do individual assessment, but carefully do others' assessment also, because we have no right to judge others. But in devotional association, which is one of the principles of executing devotional service as mentioned by Rupa Goswami, associating with devotees, is even the most important. Of all the 64 principles for executing devotional service, he said 5 was most important. But of those 5, 1 is outstanding. Association of devotees. So when you are associating with devotees, you must know what is the caliber of each person that is within you. That way you know how to interact with each person. So the first thing is that you find people who are first-class devotees. In different scriptures at different times, different devotees are described, or first-class devotees are described. In Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that a first-class devotee, he has associated very well with Guru. He has acquired tremendous knowledge. So in a nutshell, he has sufficient knowledge to understand the absolute truth. That is a label for the first-class devotee. And then somewhere else, the first-class devotee is mentioned as one who knows the mind of the Guru. He knows what is inside the Guru's heart. And in another scripture, it is mentioned that the first-class devotee is one who he has faith, he has taken initiation, he is acting under the instruction of the spiritual master, and he can present conclusive logic about the scriptures. So when there is an argument, he can represent himself very properly and then be able to convince your opposing opponent. And you can find out that he said where there are situations of confrontation, you can approach any issue of confrontation with 4 methodology. The first one is to act like a brahmana who has knowledge. You apply logic. Isn't it? If you are very learned, you apply logic. And if you are like a kshatriya, you exhibit your prowess. You show how chivalrous you are, how many kingdoms you have conquered, how many people you have subjugated. You can use that to intimidate an opponent. That is what kshatriyas do. If a kshatriya challenges another kshatriya, they speak words of intimidation, even to demoralize the person. But if you're a vaishya, what do? You give bakshish, isn't it? You give some bakshish to intimidate the person. But in Kali Yuga, he said that we all Kalo Sudra Sambhava. We are all lower than Sudras. So we have no ability to logic. We don't have the prowess of a kshatriya that we can cut the tongue of the blaspheming opponent and kill ourselves. We don't have the guts. And we don't have sufficient wealth also to bribe sufficiently. So what do? In Kali Yuga, quietly, walk away. You have nothing to offer. But then, in assessing the situation, he says that the second-class devotee is somebody, he has firm faith in the objective or the principles of devotional service, and he may not be able to express himself or the philosophy in logic, but he knows the objective. So what does he do? He takes shelter of those who know. Those who know. If you have a very intimidating situation, like most devotees go on Sankirtan, and then they meet very strong, challenging statements and questions. When they come home, that is why there is the Sankirtan classes and assessment. So you can have feedback, what your devotees are meeting when they go out, and then you can also sufficiently equip them for that situation. And where there is need, sometimes senior devotees accompany the younger devotees to meet those situations where they could not express themselves properly. So the second-class devotee takes shelter of those who know. But the third-class devotee is described, he doesn't have strong faith, he does not recognize the decisions of the revealed scripture. And his faith can be changed by someone else with strong argument. Is that not what happened to the Yamadutas here? That's what happened to the Yamadutas, isn't it? They met strong opposing argument from the Vishnu Dutas. They had something to say, but their utterances were nothing. Just like what Krishna told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, why speaking very learned words? You are lamenting for what is not worthy of lamentation. That's what Krishna told Arjuna. But he was saying something. The Yamadutas were saying something, but it was not sufficient to actually justify the misconduct of their time. So because they fall within this category that a strong opponent can convince them in logic, they had to go back to Yamaraj to equip themselves more. But see one beautiful thing that I feel very inspired from this reading about the Yamadutas. Good quality. And that's what Nityananda taught. Even when you see so many ambiguities about a devotee, find one good quality. Expand on it. It is for your benefit. Because when you keep speaking about the pitfalls of others, you're actually digging your own pitfalls too. But when you speak good of them, even if it's one thing, you're actually enhancing yourself. So the Yamadutas did something. In the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami mentioned Vacho Vegam. Control the urge to speak. Isn't it? And he mentioned others and said, you can become a Jagat Guru by controlling the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, the pushes of the tongue, belly, and genital. You can become a Jagat Guru. Now here, also, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned that one who has controlled the urge to speak, he is identified in a particular mood. He said, Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat swadhyaya bhyasanam chaiva namayam tapa uchete. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful. Did the Yamadutas speak falsity here? They spoke what they saw, isn't it? And pleasing. The Vishnu Dutas were happy that they identified them. Beneficial. Because they spoke well, he also moderated the anger of the Vishnu Dutas. Because they were angry. But because they spoke well, they were able to moderate their anger. So in reciprocation, they also coined their words. And so one who has been able to control the urge to speak, he does not speak things or words that are agitating to others. You can find many places in the scripture where foul pronouncement have produced very destructive results. In the sacrificial arena of Daksha, Daksha had invited the best of brahmanas, headed by Bhrigu, and then invited all the demigods, including Lord Shiva. But when he came into the sacrificial arena, Daksha was as effulgent as the Vishnudutas by the description of Bhagavatam. He was so effulgent that everywhere was glowing, and everybody stood in recognition of his presence to accord him the necessary respect. But Lord Shiva did not get up. Infuriated by just that slight disregard, even when Shiva was his son-in-law, Daksha opened his mouth and spoke. The things he spoke, did they agree with this context of Bhagavad Gita? He disagrees because his words were haughty. They were not pleasing. And they were not truthful words also. You see that example? So in the end, what happened? He produced a postponed, transferred aggression that many people suffered. He also suffered. But many people suffered. So in our conduct as devotees, we must be mindful of what Prabhu was saying here that day, BMW. Your body, not the automobile BMW. I've not seen any since I came here, but there are so many nice cars now in the city. But I've not seen any BM. In Nigeria, you find many of them. BM, Jaguar, Rolls Royce, everything. So many. So, your body, your mind, and your words. Be very careful how you apply them. So here, Krishna is mentioning how we should conduct our speech. But Daksha did not conduct his speech well. So he created a scenario that was intimidating, that those in his support or those who were against him admonished him. But see the exalted Mahajan, Lord Shiva, he walked away. Isn't it? It is in that purport that Prabhupada was explaining that in Kali Yuga, this is the example to follow. Walk away for your safety. Isn't it? In Kali Yuga, walk away for your safety. But then, the disciples of Lord Shiva could not heed the example of their guru. The same thing, the Yamadutas are not heeding the example of their guru here. So they brought a demoralizing situation. You can imagine, in the end, Yamaraj has to go and tender proper apology for their safety. Isn't it? So, the followers of Shiva, they admonish Daksha, and then the priests who were there, in return, challenged them. And an arena that was arranged to perform sacrifice that would be for the benefit of the whole of creation turned out to be arena for what? Release of both nuclear, biological, and chemical missiles. Isn't it? There were different astras release, chaos, and counter causes. And in the end, what happened? When the arena was reconvened, because it has been already very drastic pronouncements, it ended in destruction, devastation. People lost their eyes, lost their teeth, lost their beards, and Shiva himself, Daksha himself lost his head. So you see, that is what he said, the wild elephant offense. Once it sets in, it devastates. So we should be very careful what we speak as devotees. It is not because you have the ability to speak, so you just go on and yak, 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 yak. The frog also is croaking, but Prabhupada said in that explanation that he's only inviting death in the form of snake. Okay? So be careful. Then also, we can see that by conducting our words, our speech, and our bodily activities properly, we become glorifications for our guru. And if we don't do that, we become condemnations to the guru. There was a story Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj narrated about a disciple who had wanted veterinary knowledge. He went to the right guru, who was very proficient, and he enlisted for tutorials. Guru accepted him, but he was in a hurry to practice. So the first day lesson that he saw, he felt that was all to veterinary practitioner. The vet doctor had a patient bring his camel who had swallowed a watermelon. And so it was heavy on the throat and he could not eat any other thing. So it was inconvenience. When the vet doctor verified, diagnosed, he found out it was a simple thing. So he took a hammer and a little hard wood like chisel. And he had hit the watermelon and it scattered inside. It didn't hurt the camel. So he digested it and he got well. So this impatient disciple who is eager to go practice immediately, he felt, wow, if this is all there is in veterinary medicine, I can just go immediately and set up my own unit also. So he left. He blooped. But then, even if in his bloop condition, he set up a vet clinic. And people will bring alien animals or pets for treatment. But he had only learned one thing. So even for knee pains, for any animal, he will take chisel and hit the jaw. And he will kill the animal. For any ailment they bring, only one method he had learned, and that is what he applied. So he ended up killing so many animals. So these clients, because they knew he has professed himself the disciple of that very qualified vet doctor, they now went back to the so-called teacher and questioned, what is happening? you have so-and-so disciples somewhere? He said, you know somebody like that. He said, he's wreaking havoc in your name. Anybody who takes his pet to him ends up losing that pet. What is the problem? So the teacher, the doctor, had invited that quack. It's called quack. And he was asking him, what is it that is happening? He said, I came to you now. I learned from you. And I saw that when they brought an ailing camel to you, you had hit him with chisel. And he got well. So when they bring the animals also, I hit with chisel, but the animals end up dying. So the guru admonished him, saying, this is very wrong. You were impatient and in a hurry. So you did not wait to run through the whole tenor of the course. You only got small thing and you went out. So you see, in managing devotees, this is very important. When devotees come newly, like Prabhu was telling me, we don't use devotees. We want them to be fulfilled, learn, apply, then they can go practice. But in some situations, as soon as you get devotees, maybe because you are the only person in the temple or you have only a few devotees, and then after 2 days of Mangalati, go on Sankirtan. So when they go on Sankirtan, what happens? They get bombarded. They end up leaving. But you must sufficiently keep them, train them, and ascertain what their conduct is before you send them out, because they are going out means they are your ambassadors. They represent you. And if they misrepresent you, they kill your whole mission. And people will misconstrue you. That is what has happened to the Yamadutas here. They had gone out as ambassadors for Yamaraj. They had bona fide instruction, but they added their own, what did you call it, whims and caprices. They added their what? Whims and caprices. And in Gita, what did he say when whims and caprices comes in? Na sam siddhi avapnoti, na sokam, na param gati. Isn't it? So they did not achieve the ultimate goal. They did not get what they wanted. They were not happy because some people has interrupted their operations. So they were actually frustrated. But in their disgust, they went to Yamaraj and they got the proper grooming. Yamaraj now tutored them very well. So these are the lessons we learn in this text, that taking to the process of Krishna consciousness means being thorough. And you will only be thorough from three things. Three things makes you thorough. That's what Maharaj said. That when you say temple, temple means Hari Puja, Hari Katha, and Hari Kirtan makes you thorough. It is not in our brainstorming sessions or our intellectual exhibitions that things really go. It's from the sadhana of worshipping the deities, chanting the glories of their lordship, and hearing sufficiently, they will become really formed. That when we go out, we are going out as ambassadors of Radha Gopinath. We carry their mercy and their Shakti. We are also internally reinforced by the power of Shravanam, hearing the scriptures. And then the Harinam, that is the yuga for the age, is working. He said Mahaprabhu came, Krishna Varna, Twisa Krishna. He has his Anga and Astra. You don't see them. So when you go with, as his ambassador, you are accompanied by his limbs and his weapons. So it doesn't matter the situation you are encountering, some divine intervention will be there for you. And you'll be glorious. But first, make sure you process yourself properly. Now you will not bring condemnation to the guru, or to the parampara, or to the institution. Hare Krishna. I feel very happy and excited to be here. Very excited. If I have things that I will say they are fulfillments of life, coming here is one. But it's not by my own making. I did not make any efforts. It is just that I'm enjoying divine grace. First grace is Bhakti Tita Maharaj's grace. His death and his references has become the anointing that has given this. And paramount among it is Ratna Maharaj's glorious nature. It was mentioned in the Leela of Rupa Goswami when Mahaprabhu told Sanatan and Rupa that they should tell their cousin to be chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But cousin was a Ram Bhakta. And they told him, you chant. He liked it. He wanted to do it. But he saw that he was not having that natural flair for it. There was no ras. No ruchi. No taste. So he told them next day, brothers, I'm very sorry that I'm going to disobey you. I like to do, but I'm not finding any urge that is spontaneous to do it. I'm already used to Ram, chanting the name of Ram. So I want to continue with that. So they both went back to Mahaprabhu and told him, this is the predicament. Mahaprabhu said, how glorious is that disciple who does not leave his master? And how glorious also is the master who does not leave his... Glorious is the disciple who does not leave his master. And more glorious is the master who does not leave his disciple, because that is the duty of guru. Guru's work is to make sure you are delivered at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. I'm not glorious because I never wanted anything. But it is Maharaj's mercy that is inundating the whole world. That has also fetched me in the remote area of Africa and has brought me here. All glory to Radha Maharaj. And Prabhu Govinda is like, what do you call him? Grease. He's the oil. Many times in my sojourn, I told you, the experience in Africa is like, who feels it knows it. But in great despair, somehow, from nowhere, he always wrote me from the time I left. Sometimes I forget to write. But somehow or the other, I will see that we are writing each other again. But he always reinforced me, send me some MP3s, send me some video of the activities here, enlisted me in the group mail, and I enjoy nectar from there regularly. This way, he has kept me going. In the end, he has brought me here. He has more Shakti. I told him that day, I was running a project for 10 years in Port Harcourt. And my mindset was, oh, this project will be more fulfilled if in the end, Radha Maharaj visits here. But after 10 years, I left that project and I'm into many other projects now and Maharaj has not come. Means my desire is not sufficient. But his desire is so strong that he has been able to bring me here live. So you are watching me live. Hare Krishna. Is there any comment or correction if we have transgressed? Are we still within time or time is exhausted? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. I'm here for at least as long as he can accommodate me. So we can have more time together. Hare Krishna. Sri Radha Gopinath Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.